Welcome to the State of Us on True Chat in Urbana, Ohio. I'm Justin T. Weller.
I'm Cam Pierce.
And I'm Lance Jackson.
Good morning, everybody. How you doing, Cam?
I'm all right.
You ready to rock?
Yep. Had my Fiesta potato from Taco Hell today. So yeah. on my
Great.
Cheat day. Yep.
Great.
I had
Happy
sour
Saturday.
Cream. I miss sour cream, man, throughout the rest of the week. Yeah. Down to 266 when I weighed in. So
wow.
34 pounds now, so rocking and rolling.
There
yeah,
you go. Congratulations.
There you go.
Hey,
no headway. Problem. That's why I devoured that Fiesta potato that's no longer sitting there.
It's not even 8 o'clock in the morning.
No,
and
no.
He's already made a run
Fiesta
to the border.
Potato.
Yeah,
Fiesta potato.
I got two burritos Whoa. And a Fiesta potato.
You may lose weight on your cheat day.
Got to get to your splurge day quick.
Yeah, you
You've
know.
Only got 24 hours to shove as much as you can.
You're damn right on that.
Well, anyway, on the agenda for today's
Wasted
episode.
Wasted the first 7 hours of sleep. So.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You got to make
up the alarm at one and went to Taco Bell.
Gotta go.
Come back, go back to sleep, wake up again, go back.
Go back to Taco Bell. Another Fiesta potato. Another one.
Goodness gracious.
All right, so we've got the failure of the Republican Party. And we're going to talk about what's exactly next for them. And we might get to some other stuff. We'll see. Might let Scott Wood do some reading of the newspaper.
Whoa.
Oh, my goodness.
Old
days.
Oh, man.
Bringing back the old shows.
That's right. But before we get to that, don't forget, new episodes of The State of Us are available every Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday by 6 p.m. Eastern Time. So a Republican failure. This is from the Review and Outlook section of the Wall Street Journal today, August 5th. The Senate left town for its August recess Thursday, a week after the House vamoosed. And let's hope the members get an earful from constituents at home. The Republican Congress has so far been a monumental disappointment, and on present trend is heading toward electing Speaker Nancy Pelosi in 2018. The policy failure will compound for years in the expansion of the entitlement state that Republicans will be asked to raise taxes to fund. And the immediate political damage has already arrived in polls that show a growing lead for Democrats on the question of who should control Congress. The table nearby, the gap at 44%, 37%, which should translate to a Democratic gain of 30 to 35 House seats, and the loss of the GOP majority. This self-destructive behavior may continue in September. Republicans will return having passed no budget with a mere 4 weeks to figure out a spending plan for fiscal 2018.
Love it.
House Budget Chair Diane Black passed her draft with unanimous GOP committee support last month, but the plan has stalled amid familiar GOP infighting. The Freedom Caucus wants more mandatory spending cuts, which can't pass the Senate. The moderates want fewer discretionary cuts. Members are grossing over proposed reforms to welfare, education, and agriculture. Yet without a budget outline, Republicans can't use the reconciliation process that would allow tax reform to pass the Senate with 50 votes. All of this is worth doing, but the reality after 6 months of general failure is that tax reform will now make or break this Congress. If Republicans can't even agree on cutting taxes and eliminating loopholes for Democratic constituents like green energy firms, what's the point of electing Republicans? So what is it, Cam?
Wow.
A proud Republican yourself. Tell
us. Wow. The Wall Street Journal. I tell you what.
Yeah, they're mad.
Well, that's because...
What's the point?
That's because these...
What good does this do?
It's because the Freedom Caucus isn't actually Republicans.
That's right. But
you're not electing Republicans. That's your answer.
They're technically Republicans. The Republicans say they're Republicans. And they say they're Republicans.
Nah. I don't. I feel like that is bad branding.
I agree, but if the party won't reject them, what do you do about that? We can say they're not Republicans all we want, but you know we're just the liberal leftist media with our token conservative on board. So,
leftist is probably my new favorite word, like that describes people on the left. By the way, a leftist,
leftist.
Yeah, it's got a nice
can't
like,
really
spit
do
to it. Nice
a rightist.
To it. Yeah, no, rightist doesn't sound very good. Leftist, though, that's a good one. I don't know.
Leftist
and rightist. Because you can't get them out unless you convince the people in those certain states or in those certain, constitutional districts to not vote for their favorite congressman that's been in there, since
the dawn
of time.
Because it's never your congressman's fault.
Well, I mean, we don't live here anymore, but it certainly would be Jim Jordan's fault, as I don't think he's, you know, a Republican in the natural sense of the word. So maybe we should yell at this guy over here.
Yeah? Yeah. This guy being Lance?
I've never voted for him.
Well, you know, you gotta get the people galvanized. Be a face in the community.
This is your... the result of all the gerrymandering that's been done over the last 25 years.
Hey, which the Supreme Court's now going to hear.
Gerrymandering is whack, yo.
You get what you get is you get this subplot of people elected to Congress who represent just small minorities of people because everybody in their district is that minority because they drew the line. And by minority, I'm talking about a belief system, not color, gender, or anything like that, but a belief system. And to where they're going to get reelected because that's everybody in their district. I mean, Jim Jordan's district is 85% people who believe just like him. So there's not a cross section. You know, they're not throwing in Springfield or any place, you know, Lima. They draw the line around those Democratic strongholds so that he covers six counties in a stretch of nothing but farmland. And so everybody's going to vote for him because they have those beliefs. So what you've done basically through gerrymandering has created a multi-party system. And what that means is if either party wants to rule, they have to get that little sliver of now what are very conservative people to support their agenda. And while that will never happen for the Democrats, because, you know, they're too far away, unless you get to like a Bill Clinton or somebody like that, who's more of a centrist Democrat, who was able to get some of the more center-feeling Republicans and pull them off into getting things done. But that's what you've created. You've created, what in Europe, a multi-party system where it takes two parties to rule because neither party has a full majority to get anything done. So that's I don't know, that's kind of where I take it. I think it's a result of gerrymandering. We're just reaping what we sowed. And whether you call them Republicans or not, that's the situation that we're dealing with. And I'm not convinced that the Democrats are going to win a majority in 2018 because you just can't run against Trump and the Republicans because the Democrats haven't said what they're going to do. And so I'm not sure it's a given that the Democrats will gain a majority in 2018 if things stay status quo.
Let's elect somebody else without a plan. That's a great idea.
Yes, because it works so well this time. So, wow, Cam, he has a plan. He just can't tell anybody what it is because it's top secret.
Hey, unemployment dropped to 4.3%.
That's right. Which is
stock markets at 22,000 for the first time in history.
All to his credit. That doesn't have anything to do with regular economic progress.
Has he passed
after
any economic policy that would affect that?
That would be no.
You guys are, you know, here's where this fake news is coming in, and you guys are just all worried about the facts instead of, you know, you're making up the facts instead of the fact that, hey, look, everything got better, so.
That's right.
It's his
presence. Though the stock market is only for the rich people, you know.
yeah.
That's right.
There's not too many people working at McDonald's that are invested in the stock market that are reaping huge rewards out of all of this.
I'm working here with you two, and I got money in the stock market.
You're not making anything.
I'm not making anything. It's all relative.
You got in at the high point. Wait till it drops to 10.
That's why people don't listen to our show, because you got three elitist stock market investors.
That's right.
It's all right.
The three of us combined aren't even a penny.
We don't even move. Yeah. If we tell everything we have, it doesn't even move a thousandth of a point.
No. You couldn't even register it.
No.
But it's all we've got.
That's right. It's everything that we have.
It goes back to those parables, man. You know, if we give 100%, then we mean something.
Proportionally, we have a lot invested in the stock market.
Yeah.
That's right. That widow that gave the two pennies, right?
Yeah.
That was all she had.
That's right. Well, Lance, you segued us into what I was going to ask next.
I appreciate that. I'm glad I was able to help you out.
That's right. Well,
that's why I'm here.
Great minds apparently think alike. So, and I don't know what Cam's doing, but
he's thinking of Taco Bell.
Yeah, I am. Fiesta potato.
What am I eating after the show? Yeah. I'm going to have to upload this, and I'm going to eat while I'm uploading.
Oh, hey, I am absolutely on the same mindset. I am super ready for breakfast after this.
Yeah.
I am hungry. But Cam, the question that's going to you. Is Speaker Pelosi on deck? And if not, what's it going to take? But before we get to that, it's been a great conversation so far. And when you tune in to the Nerdcast, you'll be sure to hear your friends, Alex, Ben, and Cam, talking about the news that makes them the most excited. Movies, shows, video games, and tons of nerd references all wrapped up into one big geek powwow. Tune in every Saturday by 9 p.m. Eastern Time. In addition to the Nerdcast, TrueChat has a full selection of shows on sports, politics, entertainment, business, lifestyle, and more. So be sure to head over to TrueChat.org or tune in by downloading the TrueChat mobile app, T-R-U-E-C-H-A-T. If you want to join the discussion, tweet at TrueChatINC or leave a comment on our app or a website. So, Cam, Speaker Pelosi, in or out? What's the call?
I mean, you know, she already served as Speaker. So if, you know, we win all the, we being the Democrats, of which I'm not a part of that party, so I don't know why I said we.
Okay.
But
glad we had that little chat with yourself.
Thanks. I did. Yeah. Had to make sure that everybody knew.
I think people who listen to this show might contend that you're more of a Democrat than you'd like to believe.
Whoa! I probably am too. I'm more of a centrist, to be honest. But you gotta pick a party around these
TBH.
Parts. Darn it.
Okay.
Yeah. She was already Speaker, so I think they'd probably be going there. If I was the Democrats and I was thinking ahead, I'd want maybe a fresher face. Not that I can give you one off the top of my head.
Great.
But yeah.
we need a new face.
Nancy Pelosi's going to move you definitely farther left when it comes to the entire, you know, House. And I worry about...
Would that
about
be a good thing?
One, I don't think so, because I worry about one thing with the Democrats and liberals is with the spread of identity politics going around where it's like you're either with me or against me, eventually if that continues to spiral, you're going to be not left enough kind of thing, and then you're going to see the exact same thing you see in the Republican Party right now, but much more pronounced, because we kind of saw it with Bernie and the Bernie boomers in this last election, where you're either left with me or you're right with them, or you're a neo-Nazi with them, or throw any of that rhetoric out that you want. And I worry about that with the 2018 election here and Nancy Pelosi and, you know, representatives like her. So that's what I worry about. But that's probably where we're headed.
Okay.
If that answers your question.
So in your state of being, in your prediction, you would predict that Nancy Pelosi's set to be Speaker next year.
If I was a betting man.
After
yes.
the midterms. Yes. You'd be betting on that. Yes. All right, Lance, what you got? You seemed less sure.
I hope it's not Nancy Pelosi. She had her time. I think that she would be...
The era of Pelosi's over?
I hope so.
If
the Democrats take control, I think she served and she did the job, but I think she's one of those lightning rods that would be bad for the country, that even if she had good ideas, people would say, Nancy Pelosi, no, can't do it, even if it was a quality idea, kind of like
Hillary Clinton.
Exactly, that's where I was going with that.
Yeah.
And so I think that would be bad for the Democrats. I think it's time for fresh blood, a younger face. I don't care whether it's male or female or whatever. And even if they had the same political leanings as Nancy Pelosi, I think they would be more effective in getting something done rather than somebody from the old school, old liberal school who has already name recognition. That is not, would be not be a good thing for, this is my take. Nothing against Nancy Pelosi. I think she did quite a number of good things. I just don't think that it's time for somebody like that to, it's not time to reinvent the wheel. It's not time to just bring in the old retreads and let's see if they can get it working again. So I think if the Democrats do take a majority in the House, that would not be a good move. I'm not saying it's not the move that's going to be made, but I don't think that would be a good move.
Okay. So do you have somebody in mind or just somebody that's not? I mean, you said somebody younger. So probably if they take control, you're thinking maybe one of those freshmen – congressman who's a new blood, one of those 30 or 35 new ones.
You've got to get somebody who, I don't have anybody in mind because I haven't, like I said, I don't think the Democrats are necessarily going to take control of the House. So I haven't looked into it. I guess it's something I need to do some research on here in the next few weeks. But I would find someone who is more centrist in their views in the Democratic Party, somebody who could build a coalition, somebody that everybody likes to work with or likes to talk to. You know, somebody who everybody works out, doesn't mind to work out within the gym, in the gym, or to go have a drink with after work, or to be seen at dinner with, or whatever. Someone who can pull in people from both sides of the aisle. Because as I said, you're basically running, I think you're going to be running a coalition government. And so you need somebody who can keep their people in line, but also pull some people in from the other side in order to get things done.
And I think that's the best move politically for the Democrats here is to lead that sort of rebirth in Congress. And it was going to be a good snag for anybody who did it. And with the Republicans gaining the majority in Congress, we thought it was going to be them, but now it's up for grabs in 2018. And if a young upstart, you know, Democratic representative can lead that push out of this, you know, gridlock, I mean, that'd be huge for their party moving forward for decades to come.
Yeah, it's got to be somebody, you know, the Democrats, I think, are definitely in a better place at the moment just because of what the Republicans are doing. But the only way that they can actually seize on that opportunity is to not, as you highlighted, Lance, and capitalized on Cam, is to not make the same mistake again with not articulating a good vision. Because right now the vision is it's not clear. It's very murky. You know, there's all these different things going on that the Democrats care about, which is fine. It doesn't mean they can't do those things, but it does mean they have to figure out a way to sum that stuff up and communicate that to people and then talk about what they're actually going to do about it instead of just complaining about.
Well, we've seen what happened with the Republicans when they don't have a plan, when all you do is complain.
Yeah, I mean, we get nothing.
You complain on how horrible something is, but in the time that you're complaining, you're not devising a plan to take its place.
Then you get in and everybody expects, you know, logically that you'd have a plan because you've had 8 years to come up with a plan since you're so mad about the way things are. And then you get in there and it's like, oh, well, we didn't think we'd win. Right. So we didn't have a plan.
We don't really have a plan.
That's right.
It's you know, and I can see it doesn't do any good for the Democrats to fall in the same. The only thing about Congress, we're sitting here talking about it. The only thing I keep thinking about, aren't Congress's numbers worse than President Trump's as far as approval ratings?
Yeah.
I mean, we talk about how horrible Trump's approval ratings are. And then we talk
we're
going to get it. I know, but I'm saying, we talk about how horrible the president's approval ratings are. And then we looked at Congress to fix things. I was like, wait a minute. Congress's approval ratings are even worse than the president as far as the American public. So we're asking the American public to look to an organization that they have even less trust in than the president.
Yep.
Who, you know, is at all-time lows for presidential approval ratings. You know, he's still twice as popular as Congress is, if I'm not mistaken.
A little less.
Did you just look it up? Yeah, I mean, I thought it was in the teens.
Congress is at the 20%
approval. Oh, they're going up then.
Yeah,
okay.
They're going up.
Because last I looked, Congress was like 14, 15%.
Yeah, their low was in the mid... right at the end of 2013, 9% approval rating, but they've been steadily on the uptick here, and they're at 20% approval. Trump, according to CNN International, was at around 33% approval two days ago.
Right.
So not quite double, but pretty close.
So, you know, here we are. We're saying, look to Congress to solve the problem. Da, da, da. And these people aren't even as well liked by the American Congress isn't even well liked as the president.
Oh, but see, that's,
so I think that's a dilemma as well for them.
I think you have the issue there too of it's much easier to be displeased with an institution than it is to be displeased with a person because they're a human. And that's the same thing that we found historically, which is that people almost, you know, across the board, their congressman has a high approval rating on average across the country, you know, really high, much higher than the president's. But when you ask them about Congress as a whole, it's, oh, well, they suck. You know, they're no good. But my congressman, he's a good one.
He's not the problem.
Right.
But we're into what, year three now of Congress really not getting any major legislation passed?
So you would think that would start to connect that, well, at some point, your guy can't just be good. You know, there's got to be other stuff going on. You would think, but then again, there's a lot of things you'd think that, you know.
aren't happening.
Yeah.
That's right.
You think are obvious, but are not happening.
That's right.
By the way, Gallup is source.
Oh, well, thank you, Cam. I appreciate
Gallup,
it.
Gallup.
Yes. Approval rating. Excellent. Go ahead.
20%.
Well, at True Chat, there's nothing more important to us than upholding our mission. True Chat will be the mortal enemy of speculation, innuendo, and stagnation. We will champion informed opinions and fresh ideas. True Chat will prove that media can be trusted, relied on, and responsible. We won't join the media elites because we're setting a new standard, a higher standard, the True Chat standard. If you have any ethical concerns with today's episode, please email ethics@truechat.org. Again, that's ethics@truechat.org. Turning our attention to something other than Congress. And don't forget, if you want to join the discussion, tweet at TrueChatINC or leave a comment on our app or website. So it's a Saturday, and we'll leave you with some positive stuff to think about, some mind-blowing stuff. So it's no secret that your very own Lance Jackson is not the biggest fan of drones. Not the craziest.
Nope.
But there's some good news in the world of drones. Drones are speeding up insurance claims. When Melinda Roberts found shingles in her front yard after a storm, her insurer didn't dispatch a claims adjuster to investigate. It sent a drone. The unmanned aircraft hovered above as Miss Roberts' three-bedroom Birmingham, Alabama home snapped photos of her roof. About a week later, a check from Liberty Mutual Insurance arrived to cover the repairs. It took a lot less time than I was expecting, Miss Roberts said. That's from the Wall Street Journal today.
Hooray!
You like it, Cam?
I think Lance still hates it.
You like it? The efficiency effectiveness? Get your check
it.
In a week?
I had never thought of that as a...
Neither had I.
Practical application of drones, but it makes a ton of sense.
Well, and what about in disaster situations? Now we can get people money a lot sooner because when you've got, hundreds of homes that need to be looked at, much easier for the drone to just hover above, not have to use the
roads. I'm telling you, once Amazon gets their system up, they could dispatch relief efforts very quickly. Yeah.
Drones everywhere. Well, Lance is going to hate it.
Drone America.
Yep, so they take pictures of my private property in my house, and then anybody can get on the internet and find out what I have and come and steal it. That's really good. I like that. No invasion of privacy there.
Google's done that.
I was
going to
say,
can we pull up Lance's picture
of Lance's house right now?
I understand that. I don't like it. I know it exists. I don't like it.
I don't want it.
Yep. That's why I go outside every afternoon and just put two middle fingers up to the sky, just so if anybody's looking,
hoping that at some point the satellite takes the picture with you.
You want to be that guy on Google Earth where people, there's an article about the craziest things you could find on Google Earth, and it's like, well, here's this random guy in the middle of Ohio just
standing out in
the
middle of his field. That's right, flying. Just letting everybody know how he feels about Google Earth. Tell you what, the drones better just stay out of my yard. I'll start swatting them.
The government, in their infinite wisdom, decided that the air can't be owned. So
the government. There we go.
Nobody owns
said
the air.
Government.
Which actually isn't true, because in some cities like New York, you can actually
own the space above your building.
Yes, if you want. Mm-hmm. So you can buy air, Cam. Doesn't that sound like a great use of money?
It's great. Sounds like, the Spaceballs joke where they have the air in a can and the guy, cracks the can and breathes in. Nobody's seen Spaceballs? Okay.
I've seen Spaceballs. Oh, okay. I know the reference. Okay. Yes.
Fair. See, that's what I think of when buying air.
Yeah. Of course, the problem is that somebody could just hover in the air next to your air and take photos at an angle.
So what happens if there's a supernova something and they take a picture of the wrong house and then they don't get your money and then you have to fight with a drone to get your money for your house because they took the picture of the wrong house. And so the insurance company says, you don't get any money because we have pictures here. And you say, but that's not my house. Well, this is a drone, ma'am. Drones don't make mistakes. So therefore, you don't get any money. We don't care.
Well, your house looks fine.
Your house looks fine because the drones don't lie.
Yeah.
See, and then what happens? How do you fight with the machine?
Well, then
rage against the machine.
That's right. Then you go to your robot judge, and the judge says, nope.
Mm-hmm.
Robots are best.
And that's when you take out your sledgehammer and you take out the robots and the drones.
You want to know something?
And people rule.
Yeah, you want to know something really scary? There was like a research lab somewhere that had an AI, and they had to kill the AI because it was Facebook. It developed its own language,
and they couldn't understand it anymore.
So they had to kill
it. This just happened like a couple weeks ago.
Bring in Mr. Spock.
it was deep inside because they said Facebook was, they were messing with this new AI, and it got so smart that it created its own language. And when they asked it why it did that, it responded that English was
inefficient.
Yeah, was inefficient. And it wouldn't, and it wouldn't tell them when they asked it to give them, you know, like a cipher to decrypt what it was doing. It wouldn't give it to them. So they pulled the plug because they're like,
isn't that the scariest thing in the world?
Yes. Why do you think I'm over here saying I don't like this stuff? And you guys laugh at the old guy. This, I've read enough science fiction. I know of which the world now we're going down. Yeah.
It's making its own
language.
I didn't
like it then.
And
I don't like it now.
It's refusing to comply
real.
With human commands.
No, exactly.
English is inefficient.
That's right.
I will use my own language that only I can understand.
Most American high school students would agree that English is inefficient.
Yeah, fair.
Electric shock, with luxury automakers from Porsche to Aston Martin poised to release electric sports cars that upend earnest eco cliches, going green will soon entail going startling fast.
Whoa.
Electric cars are typically quick to accelerate, but not fast. This limited edition Concept One, however, has a 220 mile per hour top speed. The four high-speed oil-cooled magnet motors at each corner of the car can output up to 1,224 horsepower. A Chevrolet Corvette's V8 generates 650 horsepower. So literally twice the
power.
Eat
your heart out, Chevy. You know, they're putting computers and AI in your cars, too, though.
I know.
We're getting there, too. Man.
The car's carbon fiber midsection is meant to recall an accessory that was invented in the original Concept One, and it's hand-built. The Concept One's liquid-cooled battery pack, which was designed for track use, is capable of discharging a whopping 1 megawatt of power during acceleration. Each wheel has its own motor and gearbox. This allows them to be driven independently and cooperatively simultaneously for quicker response and higher handling limits. And in some normal people terms,
I was about to say that's a lot.
Car enthusiasts were left similarly speechless in May when an all-electric supercar called the EP9 knocked 6 seconds for a world record of 6 minutes and 45 seconds
there
off of Lamborghini's production car record at Germany's 12.9-mile test track, a universally recognized standard of performance.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Yeah. So now we got to get the government to change the
rules. It'd beat a Lamborghini.
So I can drive faster.
Yeah.
You're going to give me fast.
220-mile-an-hour car.
The car to do any good when the speed limit's 70.
Who cares? Yeah.
Or 80 in Montana or whatever it is out west.
You got to take it to the auto, like got to fly that thing to the Autobahn. Got to
drive Germany.
Yeah. So you're going to, what are you going to do when there's no more gasoline-powered vehicles, Lance? You going electric?
Yeah. Well, it sounds like that's.
I'm going to walk.
Yeah. Well, you know, you could get solar panels installed at your house, go off the grid totally, and charge your own car.
True.
And never and live off the grid. Yeah.
Tell the power company to get out.
Well, did you know that you can't do that? Found that out the other day. It's illegal to disconnect yourself from the electric grid.
Shut up. Really?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
You don't have to use the electric, but you can't disconnect yourself from it.
Yep.
Wow, that's really dumb.
If you're within the service area of a company. So the only exception to that is if...
That's like Alaska and stuff.
Right. Yeah. If you're out somewhere where an electric company says, we don't service you. Because it's...
So the electric company gets to pick whether or not they service you. But if they service you, then you have to have it.
Mm-hmm. Well, because the law requires them to service anybody that's inside of their service area.
Because it's a utility,
I guess. That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But similarly, the law requires you to not disconnect yourself from the grid.
That's pretty
dumb.
I didn't know
what you could
that.
Do.
We need to go back to 1776.
Yeah, I tell you, make America great again.
Yeah. If you get the solar panels installed, Lance, and you get enough installed, then you can sell money. You can sell your electric to the electric company.
You can sell money.
We talked about this before. Uh-huh. This is what they did in California. And so
We're thinking about doing it for the farm.
Well, people started making money off of it, and then in California they changed the law because the electric company started to run out of money.
Because they were having
people were actually producing, were actually making money
more electric than
they probably had to stop that, or they'd go out of business.
Yeah, they did play with the law after they because they made it the law, so it sounded really good, and everybody put all the solar panels on. Not everybody, but a number of people.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden the electric company started to lose money. So guess what? We got to change the rules.
Now that's the way. That's the way. to
never
do
let
it.
The American people win. That's the motto of the government.
That's right. You can only win for
the
so
people
long.
People never get to win. For
I thought
long.
This was supposed to be a positive end to the show.
Well, it was, but then
you let Scott Wood / Lance Jackson talk, and we find a way that
find a way.
So Cam, you're going to do that someday. You're going to have your own house.
Yeah,
get your own power.
That's fine.
And get your own car.
Yeah.
All of which you don't pay for.
I want to get an electric car, man. I want that to be my next car. I don't know how much longer Shasta the Charger will survive out there. She's gotten 173,000 miles on her now, so not for much longer. But hopefully they'll make a solid electric car that I can afford before then. That's the dream anyway.
That's the dream?
Yeah.
Well, you got your boy, your man crush, Elon Musk.
Oh, Musky man.
Yeah.
I hope his friends call him Musky. Yo, Musky, what going on?
I don't think
they call him that. Man. But, how about Musk Man? You like Musk
the
Man?
The Tesla Model 3.
Tesla could run low on cash later this year as it ramps up production of its new Model 3 sedan.
No.
This is in August 4th, the Wall Street Journal.
Their goal was to make it readily available, 35,000.
Well, they got, you know, pre-orders out the wazoo for that thing.
I'll pre-order it.
No, I don't have
what
enough.
What is it, like $80,000 or something?
35 for the Model 3.
Oh, 35.
Because it's supposed
to. That's not bad.
It's supposed to be, in line. It's supposed to be their new, you know, economy version.
Yeah.
I don't know where you're going to plug it in Ohio.
No.
Haven't seen too many chargers around here.
Just have to plug it in at your home.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, the big thing is.
Get a long extension cord.
Keep trying to increase the range. Yeah.
Gotta go.
I wonder if you could do that at school.
What do you mean?
Well, like, kids started bringing their cell phones to school, right?
Right.
I mean, the last few years I was...
You should add up how much power they use.
And kids would want to charge their phones in the room. And I never got an edict one way or the other, whether it was allowed. So I'm like, well, that's cool. You know, they're not playing with them. They would just...
Charge.
And then in front of my room, they would stick it, you know, they put it in and charge their phone during the period. And then when the period was over, they would pick
grab
it up.
The phone and go.
Right. So if you drive to... You know, if you were driving to school, I could just get a long extension cord, run it through my window, and plug it in.
Just be a Tesla and your car
and never pay for it anymore.
Well, let the school district pay for my let the taxpayers pay for my
nice.
I think it requires higher voltage than your average extension cord.
It takes a 220, 225, 230, something like that.
Well, because it's like a big plug. Like most people get, if you're gonna have an electric car for a while and you buy a nice one, like you get it in your house somewhere.
Yeah,
get that power.
Probably your garage.
Probably garage. Well, not all garages have power. Maybe you put it on the outside of your house. You don't have a garage, and you got the Tesla plugged in. I don't know.
Maybe you don't have a garage.
Maybe you don't. Yeah, that's what I said. That's what
no,
I just
garage.
Said. No garage. No nothing. Garage.
Okay. Maybe you just bring your car in the house.
You said no electric in the garage, I thought.
$80,000. Well, that's what I said. No electric in the garage, or maybe you don't have a garage. Oh,
okay. All right. Well, on that note, ladies and germs, I think we hopefully left it on a sort of not really positive note. As always, we can't thank you enough, though, for tuning into True Chat. Don't forget that you can join the conversation on our app or website, truechat.org. If you already listen to podcasts on iTunes, Stitcher, or some other platform, you can subscribe to our shows there. For the State of Us on True Chat in Urbana, Ohio, I'm Justin T. Weller.
I'm Cam Pierce.
And I'm Lance Jackson.
As always, thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you next time on the State of Us. Be the change.